stuffed with snow. And I come up here Friday night, and I leave Caledonia, beautiful roads, it's raining a little bit. I hit on the other side of Ellora, and snowstorm. And I'm going like 60, 70 kilometers the rest of the way up here. And of course, getting up to Dad's place when it's snowing is always a challenge. If you remember last year, I got stuck 3 times in 1 weekend. This year, I made it up, and I made it down to go ice fishing. But I'm out ice fishing, and it starts off nice, and then it snows all over me, and everything is snowy. And I get up this morning, it's snowing again. And it just never seems to stop. It just keeps going and going. It's
up to June.
Oh, I don't understand it. Anyways, was this working okay? I got a phys ed voice anyway, so I'm loud. So I'm going to start off by reading Psalm 63, 1 to 4, if you have your Bibles. Psalm 63, 1 to 4. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I'm actually going to come back to that passage right at the end as a closing prayer. You see, this is my prayer right now. I want to be able to say this the way David said it, with such a longing to be in the presence of God, a longing to be there, not just on Sundays, not just in the mornings when I do my devotions, but throughout every single day, every single hour. My interest in experiencing the presence of God more actually started with a sermon that Dave Freeman gave at my church a few months ago. It was honestly one of the best sermons I'd ever listened to. Maybe, for sure in the top three, maybe the best. It primarily focused on how God is with us during difficult struggles in life. His main illustration was his family room. For him, that room had so many great memories. Family gatherings, opening presents for Christmas, watching TV and movies, and spending quality time with the people that he loved. But it also was the room that his wife, Betty, died in just over a year ago. He said that the fact that Betty had died in that room made it so hard to focus on the joys he had experienced so often in the last number of years, due to the despair and the pain that was right there too. It is the same with our lives. The Christian life is often filled with joy as we experience God's blessing, His love, and His peace. But it is also a place that we experience suffering, loss, and death. And the negative often seems to overshadow the positive, robbing us of the joy that God wants us to have. It was a great sermon. But one thing he said stuck with me and led me to the quest to experience the presence of God that led to me to create this message today. He said this: though Betty's absence is always present, God's presence is never absence. I want to say that again, because his wife died a year ago, and since that time, Betty's absence has always been present. He feels her loss every single day. But in that same moment, God's presence is never absent. I came away from that message and I thought, I want the presence of God like that. I want the presence of God to be in my life, in my good times and my bad times. When I go through joys and the blessings of life, I want to give praise to God. But when I go through hurt and pain, I also want the presence of God to be with me even more. I realized that though I know that God is everywhere, I was not experiencing the presence of God every single day. So how do we experience the presence of God more? I decided I needed to find out, and that led me on this quest. You see, because of Jesus' death on the cross, the veil of the temple has been torn. We no longer have to come into God's presence needing an animal sacrifice or the priest to prepare a way for us. We can enter the most holy place with full assurance that we are welcome there by our Heavenly Father. Our High Priest Jesus has prepared that way for us. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Hebrews 10:19-22 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings." And Ephesians 3:12 says, "In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." So I know I'm able to enter the presence of God, but what do I need to do to get into His presence? I began listening to sermons and reading articles about the presence of God, and many of them talked about a guy named Brother Lawrence. He is seen as the main expert in this area. He was a soldier who became wounded and then lame in battle. He couldn't walk well anymore. His injury and the horrors of war led him to question God's grace and the unwavering sovereignty of God's providence. Why would a God who loves allow bad things to happen? The turning point for him occurred when he gazed at what he seemed to think was a dead fruit tree in the middle of winter. It seemed a perfect parallel to his seemingly lifeless state at the time. Yet Brother Lawrence realized that come spring, that dead old tree would get leaves again, and it would eventually produce fruit again in the fall. And he suddenly realized that life is just like that. We go through seasons. There are times when we go through difficult times that we feel really dead inside. And there are times that we feel on top of the mountain because the joy of Jesus just seems to be flowing down with blessing. But ultimately, he realized that Jesus has prepared eternal life for him, where there'll be no more crying, no more suffering, no more sorrow, that he would have eternal life forever. And that led to him yearning for God more, loving God with everything he had. This realization ignited an unceasing love for God and sparked a desire to dwell in God's presence every single day. So he entered a monastery and took up a job in the kitchen, a job he did not enjoy at all. But one of the famous quotes is this one I have up here: "In the noise and clatter of my kitchen, where several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees in the chapel." Brother Lawrence came to the point that it didn't matter if he was praying to God on his knees or serving other people in the kitchen. God's presence was just as real to him every single moment of every single day. I just thought that I wanted to experience God the way Brother Lawrence did. I want to be in the presence of God and experience His peace no matter what I'm doing, where I am, or where I'm going. I want that presence of God to be with me. As Christians, we know intellectually from the Scriptures that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Psalms 139:7-10 says, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Jeremiah 23:23-24 says, "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." And Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." As Christians, we know intellectually that God is everywhere. But the question is, why don't I always feel Him? A.W. Tozer summarized the omnipresence of God this way: wherever we are, God is here. Tozer also felt that being in the presence of God is absolutely essential for Christians. He said that the awareness of God's presence is the difference between nominal Christianity and a life radiant with the light of His face. God can seem distant to us. Sometimes it is because we want to hold Him back at an arm's length away. And I can admit it, there are times that I do that. I hold Him back because I want Him right there in case I need Him. But I really don't want Him to interfere with everything I'm doing. I don't want to sometimes hear the whisper to correct something I'm doing wrong. Or I don't want Him to necessarily be where I am at that moment, but I need Him there. You know, it's sort of like if I have my wife's picture on my phone, and I'm looking at her, and I can tell you how much I love her and how much I miss her, but it's a totally different experience when she's actually with me. And I think a lot of us are like that. I think a lot of us want God to be that picture where we can show Him to our friends and say, hey, yeah, I love God. God is my friend. God has provided eternal life for me. But we don't necessarily want Him right where we are in case He wants us to do something different than we want to do. My wife isn't afraid to correct me when I'm wrong. So when she's with me, I'm a little different, right? She often, you know, like, says, do you want me to go with you or do you want me to come ice fishing with you? And I'm like, well, that means I won't be able to ice fish 12 hours on the ice because she'll want me to spend time with her, right? But we treat God the exact same way. We want Him to be our friend. We want Him to be our Father. But we often don't want Him to be right with us so that we are constantly in His presence, constantly aware of His presence, constantly asking Him for advice, asking Him for guidance, letting Him be a part of our everyday life. Tozer says that the inability to feel and experience God's presence is due to the fact that we lack what he calls spiritual receptivity. Spiritual receptivity starts with the awareness of God's presence, but then results in responding to it. You see, God is everywhere. God is right here in this room. He's with me at home. He's with me at work. He's with me when I'm ice fishing. He's with me at school. He's with me when I play or coach sports. God is already there, waiting for me to acknowledge Him, talk to Him. He's always with you, no matter where you go, what you are doing. But what we need to do is take the time to focus on His presence and respond to it. So I figured out what I need to do. It's this right here. It is not about figuring out how to enter the presence of God, but instead learning to become aware of God's presence and then responding to it. In one of his letters, Brother Lawrence said if he was a pastor, he would speak primarily about dwelling in the presence of God. He felt it was one of the most important concepts that any Christian should know about. Every single person, he felt, needed to spend more time in the presence of God. And that's what the rest of this message is about, is figuring out how we go about acknowledging His presence and responding to it. An illustration of one of the articles I was reading hit home to me. You see, it's possible for a parent and child to live in the same house, and even though they know that the other one is there, they can feel really distant from each other. There's no real connection, little interaction. The child may even know in their head that their parent loves them, but they don't necessarily feel that love. There's no intimacy. Without the connection, there's little impact of the parent on the child and the child on the parent. I believe that many Christians, including myself, find themselves in this situation. We realize that God is with us because we know intellectually He is everywhere, but we are not acknowledging His presence, so there's a lack of connection, and as a result, we feel spiritually lacking. But it's not God's fault. He simply is waiting for us to acknowledge His presence and respond to it. A.W. Tozer talks about the difference between the presence of God and the manifestation of God. God's presence is always there, but God only manifests His presence in response to us drawing near to Him. He will let us feel His presence once we say that we want to acknowledge His presence. There are times that God has shown himself in special and even miraculous ways. He did this throughout Scripture, like when He met Moses on Mount Sinai, or Saul on the road to Damascus. God also did this through various miracles that Jesus did, and in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. God also manifested His presence in a special way when He literally spoke at Jesus' baptism, and then again during the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain with Peter, James, and John watching. God does occasionally manifest His presence in a special way to make it obvious that He's there in our midst. And we might experience this at a retreat or during a Sunday morning service through a miracle that you saw or a miracle that you experienced or in a special blessing that God has given you. You can probably think about a few times in your life when you knew that God was right there because of what He was doing. Those times are awesome. They often allow us to really feel His presence. But if a parent and a child do feel close to each other, it's usually because of regular communication, a sharing of each other's thoughts, and a commitment to do things together, not just one or two times, a month, a week, or a year. You see, there may be times, things like a family trip or going through a difficult time together, that may increase that intimacy between parent and child. But it is the ongoing commitment, communication, and caring for one another over time that will cause that relationship to grow. To grow our relationship with God, we need to become more sensitive to His presence and take the time to communicate with Him continually throughout our day. We need to read God's Word and spend quality time in prayer, but we also need to be aware of His presence with us, no matter where we are and what we are doing. That's how we develop spiritual receptivity and experience God's presence with us. Our Heavenly Father loves us and wants to spend time with us, but He will not force us to spend time with Him. He may allow circumstances in our lives from time to time that will cause us to refocus on Him, but it is that constant awareness and talking to God that allows our spiritual receptivity to His presence to grow. This was the discovery of Brother Lawrence. He simply regularly acknowledged God's presence and talked to Him throughout his entire day, no matter what he was doing or where he was. James 4:8 says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." Now, I don't want to take this verse out of context. If you read the scriptures around it, it definitely is all about getting right with God and submitting to Him. But the concept is key. When we take action to draw near to God, He responds by drawing near to us. Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see, I do my devotions every single morning. I read, I pray, and I usually do some sort of study for about a half hour. And there are days when I really do feel God's presence with me when I do them. There are other days, though, it's simply a routine that I go through. And when I was studying for this message, I realized I'm like that parent-child relationship. It's like I have breakfast with my kid, then I go off to work, and I don't interact with him the rest of the day, and then I say goodnight to him at bedtime. And I realized that's basically what I was doing with God. I was having breakfast with him, talking to him, communicating with him, and then saying, bye God, and off to my work. And I wouldn't interact. I wouldn't talk. I wouldn't acknowledge his presence until bedtime when I say my closing prayers. Or when I'm having a meal and I do that short prayer before we eat. And I realized that is why I'm not feeling the presence of God the way I need to. He does desire that ongoing communication. He wants our worship. He wants our love. So how do we do it? Well, the first step in experiencing the presence of God is to seek Him with our whole heart. This means pursuing God with sincerity, passion, and dedication. We must want to be in His presence, and we should be motivated to do that because we love Him in response to how He loves us. We just saw in Jeremiah 29:13 that says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." This emphasizes that God reveals Himself to those who earnestly desire to know Him. Seeking God involves setting a time for prayer, meditation, and studying His Word. It requires a heart that longs for communication with the Creator, not just in times of need, but throughout our day. David expressed his heart in Psalms 27:4 when he said, "One thing I ask the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." When we prioritize our relationship with God above all else, we open ourselves to His presence. We become more sensitive to it. This pursuit is not about perfection. It's about intention and consistency. By making space for God in our lives, we invite His presence to dwell with us, to dwell within us, guiding our thoughts, our actions, and our decisions. The journey of seeking God is ongoing, and each step brings us closer to experiencing His love, His peace, and His power the way He wants us to. David was facing imminent danger. He was afraid for his life. He was suffering. But in the middle of calling out to God, he desired only one thing: to be in the presence of God forever. Is that our desire? Is that our prayer? Secondly, it takes action on our part. If we want to experience more of the presence of God, we need to take action. We saw earlier that James 1:8 says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." So how do I come near to God? It starts by taking the time to be still and know that I am God. Two things I found very interesting about this verse, and I don't know why I didn't discover this before until I studied this verse for this message. That Hebrew word, "be still," does not necessarily mean just not to move. It actually means to release control. And the word picture is actually a person that's holding something in their hands with a tight grip and opening it up and releasing it. So when God is saying, "be still," it means release, relax, give it to me. That's what He's asking for. Some scholars think it would be better translated, "relax." And the NASB translated as "cease striving," with the idea of stop doing everything on our own and let God have it instead. Be still and know I am God. Open up your hands and let me have your problems, your struggles. Let me have what's bothering you. Secondly, the word know is translated from the Hebrew word yada. It's not just about an intellectual knowledge, though that is part of it. To know that I am God is about an experiential knowledge, which means that it's a personal invitation to get to know someone personally by interacting with them. When I looked up this word with AI, it actually stated this. It's recognizing God's presence in all circumstances. That's what AI said to know meant in the Hebrew. To recognize God's presence in all circumstances. That is what knowing God is all about. It's head knowledge, it's heart knowledge, but it's recognizing His presence with us at all times. So this verse literally means relax, release control, and spend time in God's presence to get to know Him better. A second action to practice is take the time to worship. In my study, and I've actually started to do this, and I'm amazed. The one speaker says that it is better if you have 10 minutes to spend with God in prayer and devotion, you should spend 7 or 8 of it worshiping Him. And the speaker was saying He knows all your requests already. You don't have to say anything to Him that He doesn't already know. And I started doing that in my morning devotions. I start off with 7 to 10 minutes now, every single morning, worshiping God with music in my ears, praising Him, giving glory to Him before I start my actual written devotions. And I have found it's made a difference in experiencing the presence of God when I finally open up His Word. When we take the time to worship, God responds by letting us feel His presence. Psalms 22:3 is translated different ways, but most translations indicate that God makes His presence known within the worship and adoration of His people. It says, Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in splendor of His holiness. And then Psalms 22:3 says, the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. When we worship God, He responds by saying, here I am. I'm with you. I'm there for you. And He allows the manifestation of His presence to overwhelm us. Being in the presence of God naturally leads to a response of worship and obedience to Him. Worship is more than just singing songs. It is a lifestyle that honors God in every aspect of our lives. When we encounter His presence, we are compelled to align our actions with His will. This means making choices that reflect His character, serving others selflessly, and living our lives with integrity. Worship and obedience are interconnected. True worship inspires obedience, and obedience is an act of worship. This response is not a duty, but a joyful privilege that deepens our relationship with God. Going back to what I was talking about with my wife, I'm a phys ed teacher, and I talk about health, and we talk about relationships, and the kids are absolutely amazed. And I want to say right now, I'm not expecting every marriage to be like this, because we all have different personalities. But I have not, we've been married 30 years this coming summer. I have not fought with my wife in the last 29. And my students are like, how is that possible? I say, it's simple. I do everything I can not to get her mad. Right? When we spend time in God's presence, we want to obey Him. We want Him there beside us. We want Him to tell us what to do. We have a desire to simply live the way He wants us to. So we're not holding Him off. We're bringing Him in and saying, God, I want you. I want to live the way you want me to live. This word of God is for our benefit, not his. It's telling us how to live life to the fullest, how to get the most out of life, and how we can await the life after our death here on earth, a resurrected life that is going to be simply awesome. That leads to the last thing that we need to do, and that's confess sin and weakness. When we enter God's presence, we should be asking him to forgive all that we've done wrong. You see, I want to obey, but I do fail from time to time. And unfortunately, I get my wife mad from time to time as well. And she forgives me because she doesn't want to fight with me any more than I want to fight with her. Psalms 24, 3-4 says, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart." 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." So when we're entering the presence of God, if we want to feel the presence of God more, we need to keep confessing our wrongdoing. And he promises to forgive us so that we can enter his presence with pure hands, or clean hands, and a pure heart. Lastly, we need to practice his presence daily. We need to acknowledge that God is always there. And we need to be talking to him throughout our day. I want you, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to one more. This is amazing to me, because I've been working on this message. And I was struggling with how to do this slide. And I didn't know what verse to use. I just, God, what am I supposed to do here? And I had nothing prepared until this morning. I'm doing my devotions. And my devotions, of the one I do, had 1 Chronicles 16:11. And all I could do is say, thank you, God. 1 Chronicles 16:11. I'm going to start at verse 8. "Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." And then verse 11. "Look to the Lord." The King James Version actually says, "Seek the Lord." "Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always." Now, when I broke off from my devotions and I said, I got to figure out this passage more. I got to research it. So that first word that says seek or know the Lord or seek the Lord, it means to consult, to pray to worship, to discover. So that first part there, when it says seek the Lord, means take the time to talk to God. Turn your face and talk to him. But the second word for seek means literally to beg for, to ask for, to want badly. That is a different Hebrew word meaning I want it. And that seek his face can be translated literally, seek his presence. Seek his presence. Beg for the presence of God. Want it. Go after it. Seek it out. And how often? Continuously. Never stop. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. And I always thought that was strange. Pray without ceasing. You want me to keep talking to God about all the things I have in my mind? And I realized that after doing this message, that's not what Paul's saying at all. He's saying, talk to God without ceasing. Speak to him. He already knows our requests. He already knows what we want. He's asking us to spend time with him. Communicate with him. Share with him. Love him. Worship him. Praise him. It can be as simple as whispering a prayer during a busy moment or thanking him for small blessings. I had an amazing experience the other day. I was coaching volleyball in a championship game last week. And I'm stressed right out. It's 26-26. And game goes to 27. And I'm thinking, oh, am I ever stressed right now? And all of a sudden, I thought, I got to talk to God. And I just found myself putting the game away and saying, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I thank you that you are here, right in this gym, right in the presence, right now. Interesting enough, the other team won the next point. And then the referee reversed it because they had the wrong person serving. And we ended up winning the game, so it was exciting. But what I was amazed at is I was able to take the time to simply say, God, I know you're here. I know your presence is here. Even in this really stressful situation, you're here all the time. This message has changed the way I interact with God tremendously. Over time, this consistent awareness fosters a deeper intimacy with Him, allowing us to experience His presence more fully and respond to life's challenges with faith and peace. When I was looking for information on Brother Lawrence, I came across an audiobook called Practicing His Presence. If you have Spotify, or if you have the ability to buy that book, I highly recommend it. It's all Brother Lawrence's letters, Practicing His Presence. But this audio version actually talked about this guy, Frank Laubach, as well. Frank Laubach was a pastor for over 25 years, and he just felt like his life was empty. He felt like spiritually he was lacking. So he decided he wanted to experience the presence of God more. And he made it a determination to think of God at least once every 15 minutes. This activity for 1 year had such a profound effect on him that the following year, he decided he wanted to try to think of God every single minute of every single day. Now, he never accomplished it. He admits that. For me, I've started small. I'm going for once an hour. I literally try to go through my day and once an hour think about His presence being with me and just simply talking to Him for a minute. And that's what happened during the game. I literally was thinking, I haven't talked to God for a bit. And I felt I had to talk to God right there. And the fact is that you make that a habit, you start experiencing God more, His presence more. And that's what happened to Frank. Look at some of these quotes. Oh, this thing of keeping in constant touch with God, of making Him the object of my thought and the companion of my conversations, is the most amazing thing I ever ran across. He also said, worries have faded away like ugly clouds, and my soul rests in the sunshine of perpetual peace. And then the last thing, the joy that I have within cannot be described. If there were any other reward other than that, it would more than justify this practice to me. I've been amazed. So I've been doing this for 2 to 3 weeks now, trying to talk to God once every hour, acknowledging His presence where I am, and just simply saying a few words to Him. Sometimes it ends up being more. But I want to do that at least once an hour, whether I'm teaching, whether I'm coaching, whether I'm playing, whether I'm ice fishing. I'm trying to talk to Him once every single hour. And I've been amazed. I have found myself far less stressed and full of more joy. I have found myself humming worship songs and singing to myself throughout the day. I am experiencing God more than I ever have in years. It's awesome. It is something I highly, highly recommend for you. Experiencing the presence of God is not a distant dream, but a practical reality available to all who seek Him. We just need to acknowledge that He is with us and talk to Him. Today, commit to seeking God with your whole heart. Recognize that His presence is always with you, wherever you go, whatever you do. Respond to Him with worship, praise, thanksgiving, and obedience. Let this commitment be reflected in your daily choices and your relationships. Confess your sins and trust that He will reveal Himself to you as you enter His presence. Remember, God's presence brings peace, purpose, and transformation. It empowers us to live with faith and courage, knowing that we are never alone. Let this message resonate in your heart and guide your steps as you walk in the light of His presence. May your life be a testimony of God's love and grace, drawing others to experience God's presence with you. I'm going to read this first scripture again, and then you get an idea of why I made that the scripture of my heart after listening to this message. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you will allow us to experience your presence daily. Father, help us to remember you're always there in the room. You're always with us wherever we go. And if we draw near to you, you then manifest your presence in us. Father, help us to worship you, to praise you, to give you thanks. Help us, Lord, to just simply talk to you, knowing that you're there and you love us, and you've got our lives in your hand with the promise of eternal life awaiting us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Little commercial. I'm preaching at Chester Lake Camp this coming summer, third week of August. And this is the message I'm doing on the Sunday. But I am about to do a whole bunch. I don't know if you ever heard of a guy's book. His guy's name is Gary Thomas. He talks about the sacred pathways. And it's got me on this journey. So he says that we are all created differently, and therefore experience God differently and worship God differently. Some of the ones he talks about, he says some people are naturalists. Those are the people who experience creation. Experience God in creation. They see Him in the sunset. They see Him in the leaves. They see Him in the trees. Other people are sensates. That's what I am. I'm a sensate. I love to worship God through music and art, but particularly music. Other people are intellectuals. They experience God in their study. They love studying the scriptures. They love studying theology, and that brings them closer to God. And he goes on and on to talk about all kinds of different people, like traditionalists, other people that, and how they experience God. So I'm going to be speaking about that all week at 9:30 in the chapel at Chester Lake Camp. So if you have any interest in doing that, I hope it's okay to advertise, then you can come out at 9:30 devotions from Monday to Friday, that third week of August, and you'll hear me talk. I'm going to tackle two a day. That's my goal. And hopefully explain what they are, and I want to experience doing them. I want to show people what that's like to worship God in that way. So, thank you.